In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We'll begin this evening service by once again thanking our Heavenly Father for providing us this chance to gather. We thank Him that He has preserved each one of us here in living faith in His kingdom, wherein we can each believe our own personal sins and doubts forgiven and have that hope of eternal life in heaven. We thank our Heavenly Father also for bringing those youth here to services. Their exuberance and joy and energy bring so much happiness to those others that are getting a little older. And we thank our Heavenly Father for protecting our youth in living faith and bringing them to the services of God's children. We thank Him most of all that He sent His Son Jesus there to die on the cross so that we each as individuals could believe our own sins forgiven and be assured that our names are written in the book of life. Amen. For a text, I thought to read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And we'll read these words in Jesus' name with that prayer that God would continue to bless us with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. When I saw I was on the service turn for the youth evening, this portion of Scripture came to mind. And I've often noticed in my life and the lives of many others around me that so frequently it seems that it is the youth in God's kingdom that do so much of that mission work in our local communities, that the young believers are the light of the world so frequently in our lives. Certainly we know that there are speakers that go on foreign mission trips to those faraway places, but in our own local communities, it seems that the youth have a disproportionate share of this work, and that the youth are that light of the world so often. In the schools where you guys attend school, people notice that there is something different about you. At your workplaces, they notice that there is something different. In the stores and the restaurants and all those places where the believing children go and where the believing children gather, people notice that there is something different about the youth in God's kingdom. So many people in the world seem to maybe have maybe a bit of a negative view of young people, and they are so pleasantly surprised and happy when they have that good experiences with those children of God. In my own life, we do work with people in their homes or on their homes, and so frequently people comment on the fact that the young believing men that work with us, that they're hardworking and polite. They use the appropriate language, and they don't listen to the worldly music. And they also almost always comment on how happy they are. It's certainly not because of the work that we do that they're happy, but I thought it's that joy that a child of God has, that when we know that as believers that God is caring for us and watching over us, and the cares that may weigh down those in the world do not touch so hard on the youth of Zion. This joy and cheerfulness that people might notice it's a fruit of the Spirit. Your peers at school or at work or wherever you go, they also may notice that. And they may ask what it is that makes you not worry about those things that tend to be going on and maybe gets them down or gets them concerned. And they may be turned to God's kingdom when you tell them that you're a child of God and that you can believe that your own sins are forgiven and you don't need to worry about those things that go on so much in the world. This first verse here that we read said that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? That it is no longer good for anything. So in this way, the believers are that salt of the earth there for those around us in the world. That often it's not by us going out and telling people you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But more often it seems that it's that the gospel is spread and that salt is sprinkled by those things that you do not do and those things that you do not say, that you don't go to the dances and you don't go to the movies, you don't go to the concerts or join in the parties that those in the world may be doing, you don't use those curse words that are so common, and you don't talk the talk of the world, you don't visit about those things that they seem tend to visit so much about, the concerning movies and current events and the and those types of things, that you aren't concerned about those kinds of things. And this can be as much a rebuke as anything that you would say about them not doing this or not doing that. But as the way you live your life, you are that salt of the earth. And that is an excellent way to show people the pathway of a child of God. And if somebody is seeking God's kingdom, we pray that they would be led through that to the hearing of God's word. You youth also are the future of God's kingdom. You girls out there, you will grow up to become the mothers raising the children, teaching them the ABCs of faith in the home, and bringing them to the services of God's children. You young men out there will become fathers someday, most likely, and you will be the speakers and the board members and the Bible class leaders and the teachers of the next generation of God's kingdom. That this is how God's kingdom has always operated, that those young grow up and they turn into those new people that are taking care of doing all that work. But enjoy your youth and enjoy your happiness at that younger age, and do not become too concerned about what the future holds for you. That we know as children of God that God has promised that he is always there watching over us, that he has sent his angels there to take care of us. God has a perfect plan for every one of you, and we can trust that he is going to continue that and to take care of his own children. And we want to be ready in the world to share the gospel message. In 1 Peter, it says that in this way, that, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So in this way, when somebody asks about what it is that might be different about you, you can share that joy and share that message that you're hopeful and happy because you have that hope of heaven, and you can encourage them to come into the services of God's kingdom. You can point them perhaps towards the LLC website, or you can encourage them to use the Hearken app. I don't know how widely available that is, but I believe anybody could download that Hearken app. And for me, that's been a great benefit of my own personal walk of faith, that it seems like so frequently my phone can be a negative thing, but this Hearken app has gave me great support in that. I also had, when I was looking for a text for the youth evening, I had read the story of a boy, I believe his name is Eutychus, I'm not sure how exactly to say it, who has a very short, brief mention there in the story of Acts, or in Acts. And it looks like Paul had come to his hometown, and many people had gathered to hear, many believers had gathered in a home to listen to Paul speak. And they were all in the upstairs room there, the third story of the house. And there was too many people sitting there for this young man, this haps boy, to have a seat. So he was sitting in the open windowsill there. And it says that Paul was speaking late into the night, around midnight or maybe even later. And this boy, Eutychus, he ended up falling asleep and he fell out the window and he died. But Paul went down and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he performed a miracle there. And he brought Eutychus back to life, and he went up, and it said Paul ended up speaking all through the night there then. But this young man, he was just like every one of you. He had his own things that he was concerned about. He had his own sins. We know there's nothing new under the sun. That those same doubts and same struggles that we all have and that you all have were there in those old times as well. Those people there that were listening to Paul had those same struggles. But Eutychus, he still knew where the proper place was for a child of God, that he wanted there to be there in the hearing of God's word, where he could hear the Heavenly Father speaking. And he wanted to be there in the arms of the mother congregation, where he could be carried throughout his life. And though he certainly had those similar struggles as we did, he didn't have that cell phone in his pocket. And I've thought that these cell phones that we carry with us in our pockets and purses can offer so many temptations for us, and they can become such a problem for us in our daily, in our walk of faith. But how that Hearken app, for me, it has been a great tool to fight back against the devil in this area. That it has devotions and songs on it, of course, but there are also many, many different podcasts, many different interviews and stuff on there from young believers to old believers, stories about how people found God's kingdom and repented, and then stories just about daily life, stories about mission work. The brothers that have gone to serve there have been interviewed and discussed and visited about how it is to be a believer in those other areas of the world. And this app on the phone can be a great help to a child of God. When we pull our phone out and we're driving somewhere, perhaps we could try to click on something off of Hearken instead of another something off of another podcast or some other thing. And it can be a tool to assist us in our walk of faith rather than something that tends to bring us more struggle and difficulty. And I too have battled this in my own life, and I would ask that, could I believe my own sins and doubts forgiven? And each of you, even as you find yourself, can believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and believe that unto peace, freedom, and unto joy. Here in Romans, it says, Romans 15, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that ye may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that joy and peace that a child of God carries in their heart is viewed and is noticed by the world around us, that you are the light of the world, even when you don't feel like you are showing your light so well, that people do notice and people are aware that there is something different about you. And if God has pricked somebody's conscience and they are looking for that God's kingdom, perhaps that interaction may come through you. So we'd never know who might be seeking. So I want to always be ready to visit with anybody about that joy that is in us, that hope that is in each of our hearts. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.